suddenly, Mayor Horvu's surprising and naive idea of declaring Caladan's independence made sense. He had been led to it by a manipulative Bene Gesserit operative. Jessica fired words at Mohiam like projectiles. How dare you try to start a revolt on Caladan? My Caladan! Your sisterhood should matter more to you than a mere planet. We want you to take power away from a tyrant who has already killed more people than any other leader in recorded history. What is one mother's love in comparison to that? Mohiam sniffed, as if offended that she even had to convince Jessica. Whatever decision you make, we will still bring him down. Jessica tried to shake her away, but Mohiam kept up. The sisters saw Paul only as a dangerous and destructive force, but she knew her son as kind, caring, intelligent, and clever, full of curiosity and love. That was the real Paul, not any adverse perceptions of him that had sprung up in the backwash of the jihad. The two women paused together, allowing other sisters to pass in their progression downhill. Jessica stared into her burning candle, smelled the smoke, and struggled to control her emotions. Grabbing her by the arm with surprising strength, Mohiam rasped, "You owe the sisterhood. Your very life belongs to us. Remember that we saved you from drowning in your childhood. A woman died for you. How can you forget that? Remember." As if the Reverend Mother's voice triggered a long-suppressed memory, Jessica suddenly recalled struggling for her life, going underwater in a fast-flowing river, the raging torrent all around her, in her mouth, in her lungs. And so cold. She couldn't swim against the swift current, remembered being swept against a large rock and bumping her head. She couldn't recall how she had fallen into the river, but she was just a child, no more than 5 or 6 years old. Two brave sisters had jumped into the raging river to rescue her. Jessica remembered being dragged to the shore and resuscitated. She'd learned later that one of the sisters had lost her life in the attempt. Mohiam was right. She would have died that day if those women hadn't helped her. Oddly, however, Jessica could not recall the name of the sister who had perished, and couldn't remember the location of the river. Suddenly, as she slowed her thoughts and crystallized her memories of the event, she clearly remembered two sisters dragging her onto the bank, both of them taking turns to clear water from her lungs, breathing into her mouth. Two sisters. How, then, had one of them died in the rescue? And why were other details faint? The sisterhood left nothing to chance. Somehow, her memory had been altered. Maybe I do owe the Bene Gesserit my life, or maybe you long ago planted that story in my mind to be used exactly in circumstances like this. From the flicker of shadowy expression on the old woman's face, Jessica thought she had her confirmation. The near drowning had never occurred. What schemes did this old woman and her cohorts have in place, and what falsehoods did they hide? Peering down her nose at Mohiam, Jessica said, "Thank you for helping me make up my mind. This night I have indeed achieved clarity. I owe the sisterhood nothing." Mohiam grabbed Jessica's sleeve. "You will listen. You will make the correct choice." Jessica heard the commanding voice, the importunate tone that she should not have been able to resist. Because she knew Mohiam so well, she identified the fringes of it, the dangerous undertones, and knew how to prepare herself mentally for the onslaught. Another Reverend Mother stepped out of the tree latticed shadows, a looming form whose wrinkled face became recognizable in the candlelight. Stokhaya. A woman she had seen long ago on Ix, the woman Tessia had warned her about. Her heart stuttered with instinctive fear. "I must not fear." Stokaya's voice was like a rough bone saw. You disappoint us further by refusing to rectify your mistakes, Jessica. How can you bear such guilt? The words were drawn out like a long, strained note on a tortured violin. Powerful waves of psychic energy struck Jessica, infusing her with an awful, dragging despair that sapped her strength and hammered her with shame. Several sisters had stepped off the trail nearby and drew in around her and Mohayim, joining in the attack. Stokaya pressed closer. Jessica felt intense pain in her head, the demanding sensation that she must do what Mother Superior Harishka wanted and turn against her own son. But Tessia had prepared her, showing her survival skills to use against such an attack. Romber's wife had been pummeled and damaged, but not defeated. She had found her own thread of strength, had resisted even as the sisters tried to break her. And Jessica now shared that knowledge. Rallying her strength and fury against what Stokaya, Mohayim, and these other women were trying to do to her, and to Paul, Jessica steeled her mind and followed the mental channels she had prepared with Tessia's help, shoring up her defenses and drawing upon her own strength. She fought the guilt, using the strongest aspect of her core, the foundation of her life. She did it with her abiding love for Duke Leto Atreides and for their son, and drew strength from them. In memory, she saw Leto's ruggedly handsome face, with his wood-smoke gray eyes looking at her so tenderly, so protectively, and she focused on that for a moment. With Leto's memory beside her, with his nobility and strength saturating every cell in her body, she had an armor that the sisters could not penetrate. With great effort, Jessica shouted, "Save your guilt for yourselves!" Making a concerted surge, she threw off the attack, and as she focused harder and harder, Jessica felt the psychic pummeling recede and heard screams of pain as she inflicted echoes of guilt on her attackers. As moments passed and she gained the upper hand, she stalked off down the trail, leaving the sisters reeling and moaning.